When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hi, I'm Pete Buttigieg, and this is The Deciding Decade. Politically, people running for office are often advised to speak only about the middle class, not to use the words poor or poverty. There's always a heavy focus on making the country work for the middle class, to grow the middle class, which of course is important and true. But the stark reality is there are 140 million poor and low-income people in this country. And if we don't figure out how to mobilize around poverty, to name it, expose the truth of it, and fix it, we won't be able to break it. My guest today is someone who has been working on this moral cause for a long time and is truly one of the most extraordinary servants of the people that I've ever met. Reverend Dr. William Barber II has spearheaded some of the most influential moral movements in our time. Since he was young, he's held positions of community leadership, was president of his local NAACP Youth Council at age 15, and is now on their national board of directors. He launched the political fusion organization, Repairers of the Breach, created the ascendant, impactful movement called the Poor People's Campaign in the tradition of Dr. King, and he received the MacArthur Foundation's Genius Grant for his work on furthering the moral movement against inequality. I have personally found his words and stands inspiring. His integrity and faith have moved him to insist that political systems and political figures, including me, actually listen to the voices of the poor and the dispossessed. He truly lives the call to stand for the least among us. Reverend, thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thank you so much, Mayor Pete, and thank you for your campaign, your tenacity. You were among the first on a national debate platform of any party to acknowledge the work of the Poor People's Campaign and to actually say that if we were going to have debates in this country about where we are and where we're going, we had to put the issue of poverty up front and center.
Well, I think one of the most powerful things that you've done is open America's eyes on just how many people fall into that category of poverty or low wealth, nearly half of the country. And in politics, are taught to talk always about the middle class and never about the poor, although that line has become thinner and thinner over time. And it's had me thinking of the fact that there's no scripture that says, as you've done unto the middle class, so you've done unto me. I wonder, in your experience mobilizing and empowering people to tell their own stories, what you think is giving this movement the ability to reach more people than it has in the past? Why is there more attention to poverty than there had been? And how much further do we have to go before you would be able to say that the system is really able to hear those who are crying out in this way?
My co-chair, Reverend Dr. Liz Steele Harris, and our team decided that, first of all, you have to believe in the agency of poor and low wealth people, number one. Number two, you have to do your homework. To be quite honest, Mayor P, I didn't realize it was as bad when we started, because I'd always heard 39 million. That's what you hear, 40 million. But what we found out is that people were using a way of calculating that that's 55 years old and wasn't sufficient at the time. When we saw this number, 140 million, we all fell back in our seats and said, what in the world? And because most of this is invisible, you know, people don't realize it. 61% of African Americans are poor and low wealth. That's 26 million people. 30-some percent of white people are poor and low wealth, but that's 66 million people. Poverty has a 41% more of an impact on black people from a percentage perspective. But from an actual raw numbers perspective, there's 40 million more poor and low wealth white people than there are black. And the lie that has been used by those who don't want us to deal with poverty has often been that it was a marginal issue, that it did not cut to the heart and soul and center of our democracy. And then we had to say there's an interlockingness between systemic racism. And by systemic racism, I mean all forms of racism, not just toward black people, but, and not just one form, voter suppression, police violence, mass incarceration, resegregation of public schools, mistreatment of our Latino brothers and sisters, immigrants, continuing mistreatment of our indigenous community. But you had to connect that to systemic poverty and then connect the systemic poverty to denial of healthcare and ecological devastation. And then that has to be connected to a serious analysis of the war economy, what Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. And then you had to connect that to the theology, the false theology. And so you asked me, what helped us mobilize truth? And then we went to communities. We didn't start from the top, like a bunch of organizations saying, we're going to speak on behalf of the poor. Bringing truth, bringing an analysis, and showing people why they need to be connected. And because of that, Mayor, we've had tremendous mobilization. We had the Mass Poor People's Assembly Mall March on Washington. We were going to be on Pennsylvania Avenue June 20, 2020. That didn't happen. We were going to say, okay, we'll wait. It was poor and low wealth people that said, no, you're not. No, you're not going to wait. We're going to go digital. Some of them said, we can't wait because we might die. 700 people are dying a day from poverty.
Let me ask you about that experience, because so much of the tradition of these demonstrations is, of course, about gathering people together physically. And I wonder, as a veteran of traditional political organizing, or I should say as a veteran of traditional moral organizing, what lessons have you learned or what conclusions have you drawn about what it will be like in the future, as we have both digital and physical gatherings continuing, to do this kind of organizing and bear this kind of witness?
It's another tool. It doesn't mean we don't do the other. We're clearly going to do the physical. There's a place for it. But as Bayard Rustin told Dr. King, sometimes in the movement, you have to learn how to do jazz. And you know what jazz is? You got to learn how
to improvise.
You got to improvise. That's right. That's exactly right. And in the improvision, you learn. You actually create something unique. And so we thought, if we had 150,000 people to tune in on June 20th, that would be great. We had 2.7 million people.
Wow.
With 400,000 people to take action that day and send the moral platform for the healing of the nation, Jubilee Justice Poverty Platform, 400,000 people sent it to governors and all of the legislators in Congress. We had 40,000 people just take their picture to say, look, we're here. And it's still growing. So one of the things we've done, we have something called MPOLIS, Moral Political Organizing Leadership Institute and Summit. And all over the country, we have trained clergy, advocates, and poor and low wealth people in the same room. We train them on history. We train them on economics. But what we've learned is that we can now use this tool in powerful ways. And it actually worked better for us because we wanted people to actually see and hear the voices of poor and low impacted people. And what was powerful is you'd say, have a Mayor Pete come on or Danny Glover. And the Danny Glover would say, did you know? And they would give the statistics. And then they say, but those are just numbers. Now let's hear from the people who make up those numbers. And people would come on and tell their story. And then a person impacted would say, this is why we demand, and would lay out the demands.
And there's so much power in that. I remember when I came to visit in Goldsboro, one of the speakers at the event that you gathered together had lost her son and was able to show that her son would probably be alive today if Medicaid had been expanded.
Exactly.
In her community, to serve her community. And, you know, I've been talking about Medicaid for years, and it was different to be in this conversation with her, bearing this kind of witness and this pain that was caused by a policy that often gets talked about in these dry terms or in terms of these statistics.
Well, you know, Mayor, that's one of the critiques I've had with the political world. You know, you can go back years, I mean, just way past Trump, and we had these debates. Poverty was never at the center. But one of the things I've pushed, you know, politicians on, and we pushed them on, is why do you talk about healthcare and not have people standing around you who need it? You know, say, for instance, in the South, all of the Southern states denied the Affordable Care Act, you know, the Obamacare.
Turned down the Medicaid expansion.
Turned down Medicaid expansion. I've asked myself time and time again, why is it that Democrats in the South have not had press conferences with the people that are affected by that? In my state, 500,000 people, 346,000 white, 150-some thousand black, 30,000 people formerly connected to the military. Why not have press conferences and let them talk? Mm. You know, in the midst of COVID, why not have virtual press conferences with impacted people who are suffering, who are dying, who are scared to go to the hospital because if they do, they might end up with a bill for $75,000 if they get treated for COVID and they can't,
right.
You know, make. It's two things, I think. We have to put a face on it, and we have to expose what I call the death measurement. What moved us about George Floyd? Everybody talked who did this and who's doing this and who's supposed. Let me tell you, the hero of that was that little girl that held that camera the whole time, and she put a face on it and a voice on it. That's what moved people. And so what happened, people got to hear him say, I can't breathe, but then hit the image of what was being done to him, struck a chord because so many people working in places without the protective equipment feel like I can't breathe. Mm. His words became shorthand. We have to take this away from just being numbers to being about people.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
You also, you came up as a leader in the NAACP, speaking out for justice for Black Americans. Your movement of fusion politics is multiracial, multi-denominational. But what is the best way to think about this parallel set of facts? That on one hand, poverty is something that unites so many low-income, low-wealth white people, Black people, and people of other ethnicities and races. And on the other hand, being poor and Black is not the same thing as being poor and white. And these racial experiences really are different. How can you practice fusion on the one hand and on the other not get caught up in the ideology of color blindness, which I think we've learned is an illusion that is a mistake?
No, you can't use that. And that's why you have to put people in the room where they're telling the same stories. And the interaction will come, the intersection will come. First of all, we've always had to do that. It was the abolition movement was diverse, and Frederick Douglass could talk about it from the perspective of being a slave. In the civil rights movement, you had the second reconstruction, if you will, fusion, Black and white. So Rabbi Heschel and Dr. King could come together. But even Dr. King took the lead as a Black person talking about how what was happening to Black people was also hurting white people. Right? Mm. It's kind of like the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you just don't leave it off the table. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to be a little controversial. In some ways, what he said in Montgomery is more powerful than his closing at the March on Washington. I Have a Dream was a closing. He did it in Rocky Mount, Detroit, Washington. In the Black preaching, it's like a closing. It's lifting people. I Have a Dream was him saying, we don't have to stay in this nightmare. There's a way out. And it's a powerful prophetic anthem of belief in the midst of disbelief and despair. But at the end of the Selma to Montgomery march, when he's pushing Johnson to do something he doesn't want to do, remember, they did not want to take up the Voting Rights Act. The people forced it in a non-election year. Most of the people that had been elected had not gotten elected to pass a Voting Rights Act. But this moral fusion movement of Black and white and brown and gay and straight and young and old and all came together. They made it to Montgomery. Dr. King, on those steps, in his speech, starts talking about the first Reconstruction. He starts talking about what was happening when Black and white people came together in the South to build a new political base and how it was torn apart. Because the wealthy, the aristocracy, he calls them, saw the power of Black and white poor people coming together. And he says, when poor whites can't eat, the racists give them the psychological bird of racism. Mm. And he lays out how every time in history there is the possibility of poor Blacks and poor whites coming together to form a political base that could change the country and change it politically, the aristocracy sows division. He says that if division is not just about dislike on color, it's about power and it's about economics. All of this division we see and all of this money being spent to divide is not just the ignorance of one person. It is a strategy called the Southern Strategy that was implemented in the 60s. And when Kevin Phillips implemented it and gave it to Richard Nixon and everybody following him, you know, Trump is just the latest one to use it. He's not the first one to use it. And he uses it in such overt ways. You're not supposed to tell everybody what you're doing. That's his fool. See, the Southern Strategy was used by Reagan, used by Nixon.
Right. Didn't somebody say that Trump said the quiet part out loud?
Right, exactly. See, when Wallace ran for the presidency, the people on that side of the aisle saw his arguments were powerful. And his arguments could guarantee the South. And that could guarantee you 170 electoral votes out of a race to 270. But he was too loud, too abrasive. So Nixon said, we have to find a way to do what Wallace is doing, but not sound like him. And so Lee Atwater said, the way you do that is you talk about economics and school and busing and so forth and so on.
Right.
But my point is,
code words.
Right, Dr. King saw the other side. Dr. King said, if they're paying this much money and fighting this hard, we need to look at the demographics. And when Dr. King looked at the demographic, he saw that there was this possibility for poor and white people to come together, and dealing with race and poverty connected was the linkage.
Now, another thing about Dr. King is that he was quite impatient with moderate liberals and progressives. The letter from Birmingham Jail is largely about this impatience. How's your patience right now? You see a political system with Republicans, Democrats. You've pressed on that system in many ways. What level of patience or impatience do you think is called for at a moment like this?
Well, I think anybody, the prophets in the Bible were always impatient. So there has to be a certain impatience in your soul and in your mind and in your body when it comes to how people are just disregarded, especially when you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. See, how long are we going to be comfortable with other people's death?
You have never hesitated to speak to the policy implications of the moral teachings of faith as you understand it. And one of the things that really surprised me in the course of campaigning for president was how much appetite there was on, certainly among progressives, for more of a conversation about faith. And I always tried to be very careful to make clear that I believed as a political figure that everything I did and said had to be for people of every religion and of no religion, but that we also shouldn't be shy to talk about the policy implications of our moral choices and the moral implications of our policy emergencies. And yet, I think there was an assumption or an expectation among a lot of the people that I talked to that it was only in the political right that you would see a lot of conversations about how faith and politics intersect. I wonder if you agree with that, first of all. And if so, why would it be that maybe more the left side of the aisle or the spectrum is more reluctant or allergic to talk about the role and interaction of faith and policy than what we've seen, especially on the cultural right, throughout my lifetime?
Yeah, well, I push back a little bit with you because I don't use that language. And I think we have to get away from it because it was language that was deliberately put in our social thesaurus to create false interpretations, that in language of left and right. And to be quite honest, when you actually look at Orthodox theology, there is no language of that in any of our holy books. My grandmother used to say about being a Christian, it's like being pregnant. You are or you aren't. And she said, and you don't get to just choose. You have to follow what Jesus said. It's the politics of God. Mm. So you don't get to say you are somehow a right Christian, you know, a left Christian. Those terms are not really there. And then secondly, we have to know the history. I mean, in order to commit genocide against the people who are already here, the native people, somebody had to come up with the theology to consecrate that. In order to enslave people, somebody had to come up with a theology that would allow that to happen. Racism is not just about name calling. It is about power. Systemic racism is about power and policy. It never is just about name calling. The name calling comes to cover up the policies. So what happens is you have a group over here calling names and burning crosses, but there's a group underneath that that's enforcing policy and changing policy. Mm.
A much bigger group, probably.
Right. And they can often say, we're not with that group, right? That group over there. So, but in order to do this, in order to have this capitalism rooted on slavery, you had to have these four things, evil economics. And that is when the end justifies the means. And so if the end is prosperity and wealth, it doesn't matter how you get it. The second thing we had to have was sick sociology. And sick sociology says that something is wrong with two people being in the same place as equal simply based on color. And then you had to have bad biology. And bad biology is what Cornel West talks about in one of his early books, Prophesied Deliverance, where a French scientist actually came up with this notion that you could determine brain size by skin color. And then the last thing you have to have is a heretical ontology. And heretical ontology is that God meant it to be this way. And so we have to remember that the church split in America before there was a civil war in the church, before there was a civil war in the nation. Almost every major denomination had split in America by 1840 over the issue of slavery. And there was an argument one time, do you baptize the slave? Yes, you baptize because it makes them better slave. Then there was an argument, no, you can't baptize them because that's honoring their humanity. I mean, and you can find this stuff not in some backwoods building, but in the stacks of the libraries of Harvard right. and Yale and Duke. I mean, people really spent time, Mayor Pete, messing us up. There was a whole system behind it.
And it worked. And there's worked. Something parallel about this junk science and about the theology, right? And that both right. take an order that was created by human beings. They create this social and political, or they look at this political order, and then they create this immutable excuse for it, and whether it's the will of God or the laws of science or both of them taken together is a way to make it sound like these things that were created by people. And that means surely could be torn down by people, right? But makes it look as though they're just part of the order of the universe.
Exactly. And one of the things that happened to me in seminary that has made me so passionate around this issue, I'm so intense about being against any form of codified racism or codified sexism or codified homophobia, because one of my fathers in the ministry, Dr. Bill Turner, he assigned us to preach pro and anti-slavery sermons, to go into stacks at Duke and find them. But the black folk had to preach the pro-slavery sermon. And we almost had a mutiny until he explained. He said, I want you to understand how intentional this was. I want you to understand the argument so you can unpack the arguments, that the foundations of slavery and the rationales still exist in our political arena. And you need to be able to hear it when you don't hear it. In other words, you need to be able to hear it when it's not said as overtly and as outright as it was said 120, 200 years ago. But you need to know it because it has not gone away. So after we got over our initial, you know, resistance, we put ourselves into, I did, I had a sermon and I put myself into it. And when I was preaching that sermon, you know, I said, my God, if I didn't know better, I'd be convinced.
So this was really sophisticated work going yes, into sir. Propping up these ideologies.
Yes, sir. And yeah. then the other thing that happened is the white kids in the room were all crying. What they told me afterwards was, we could imagine people that look like us preaching this. And then they said, but I've heard that.
So they recognize in it the DNA of things that are with us right now, right?
Exactly. They recognize it in conversations that they heard. But also many black folk said, that's why some of our people got convinced. You know, everybody didn't fight. Dr. King was put out of his own denomination. People forget that.
For being too radical.
Yeah, for being, they told him to wait. Why is it? Because they too had been affected by this systematic and intentional and sophisticated form of presenting racism as the way of God, you know. But also, we need to look, that same kind of thinking, not to the same effect, was done to poor white men who didn't have land because they were left out. There was theological thinking around keeping women and saying they weren't, shouldn't be voting, the dismissing of Native people. And see, one thing we got to understand is when you see someone like Trump, Trump is just an iconography of a too often repeated American reality, as Neil Painter likes to say from Princeton. But the world is changing. The demographics are changing. And a lot of people are going through this traumatic experience is that they're having come to terms with having been lied to all of their life.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
So let's fast forward a little bit. Let's imagine there's people in office, in legislature, in the Congress, in the White House, who are more friendly to policies that tackle systemic racism, to dismantle some of these patterns of generational poverty. But we know it's not just going to be as simple as electing the right people and everything gets better, right? Where does the movement and where does the energy have to go if Trump is part of the history books now, but we still have this glaring need right in front of us that obviously built up over the years, no matter who was in power, and has gone through these reversals, these fits and starts, these improvements and setbacks? What will it take for a third reconstruction to happen where it would actually be different this time?
We need to tell the truth. We need to have a major, I believe, presentation to really lay out the state of America and why we can't continue like this if America is going to be. And it doesn't need to be about Democrat or Republican or left or right. It needs to be about how can we say we are a nation that establishes justice, provides for the common defense, promotes the general welfare, ensures domestic tranquility, and believes in equal protection under the law with probably what will be 50% of our people in poverty because of COVID. So I think we don't need Republican light. This is an FDR moment. Mm. This is an Abraham Lincoln moment. This is our Edmund Pettus Bridge moment. This is our 1920 women's suffrage moment. And whoever is leading the country needs to see it at that and help the country understand that, because we only go forward together. And we have to refuse to take one step back. And lastly, we have to lift up the American people. This is a moment that I think American president and senators need to do what Dr. King did at the March on Washington. I'm not talking about his speech. I'm talking about the picture. Go look at that picture at the March on Washington and notice all the people standing around Dr. King. It's white people up there, black people up there. There's even an officer of the law up there. And it sends this picture that this is about all of us, that racism is not just against Black people, it's against democracy. Poverty hits all of us and destroys the essence of who we are called to be as a democracy. And I think a president would do well to put people around and have a big thing with people who are impacted and let them say, we are America and we're not going to accept this anymore. And so if you fight me over healthcare, you fight, this is who you're fighting.
You know, the thing I find so beautiful in that image is that it takes very seriously the idea of the president's relationship to the country. We pack so much into that word of, right? The president of the United States. But to really be of, I mean, what's in that preposition that does so much work? And if it means that the president is somebody who calls forth the entire country or elevates the voices from within the country, it could be the most powerful thing.
We do it in war. If we do it to kill, why don't we do it to live?
Mm-hmm.
We need to take seriously this most powerful word, we the people. And we need to send a warning to the nation of what happens if we don't fix these things, but then offer the hope. Now, notice I didn't say optimism, because optimism, I don't have a lot of that high, but hope, theologically, hope goes through despair, not around it, nor does it deny.
Mm.
You have to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. It does not dismiss the despair. It actually puts it all out there. You have to be honest about the problem. It helps us unhook ourselves from the sense of apathy and what cannot be and what's not possible. We keep talking about compromises, but what about courage? There has to be something that you don't compromise on. And I look at the fact that everything we hold dear today, if you use the language of progressives, 100 years ago, somebody said it was impossible. But there always had to be a remnant that wouldn't accept that. Now, one of the things, I read it every week. I read my Bible. You know, I listen to jazz music. I listen to some hip hop sometimes, because sometimes the brothers in the street are more prophetic than some other folk. But I also every week read that part of the Declaration of Independence where it says, after a long train of abuses, the people have the right to alter the government. In fact, the Declaration of Independence almost suggests that it's unpatriotic to have a long train of abuses. Racism qualifies as a long, systemic policy-driven racism as a long train of abuses. I think poverty has a long train of abuses. I think not paying people a living wage. I mean, it took Black folk 400 years to get to $7.25. We can't wait another 400 to get 15 because we started out at zero. So it's been a long train of abuses. There are some things we have one chance to shift now. And people are going to be so looking for the shift, they're not going to accept not addressing them. And if we don't address it, we might lose this country. And what I mean by that is, when people protest in a country, that means they still love it enough because they still believe change is possible.
That's right.
What you don't want people to do is to give up on protests and just not care, because as my grandmother used to say, an idle mind is the devil's workshop.
It strikes me that there's an act of trust that's embedded in the act of protest, not necessarily a trust that an institution will do a right thing on its own, but a trust that it's somehow possible to make a change.
Yeah. And the first part of protest is for your own sanity.
Mm.
It's because if somebody steps on your toe and you lose the ability to say, ow, or if you put your hand on a hot stove and you don't move it and you go to the doctor, they will check your whole nervous system because they say something's wrong with you. And so my hope is in the midst of all of this pain, it will produce that power that sometimes comes in the midst of pain. And that is the power of a remnant coming together to say, not on our watch, it doesn't have to be like this, and we are not going to die needlessly. Maybe the time has come for us to take seriously every breath we have and decide that we no longer have any breath to waste on foolishness, that every breath we have needs to be used for the furtherance of love and truth and justice and humanity.
There was so much in that conversation that I know I'll be reflecting on. He spoke frequently about the importance of speaking truth to power, about telling and hearing the truth. Reverend Barber lays out the truth, about poverty in this nation, about systemic racism, about religious and political activism and politics generally. This kind of moral call is something that I believe will resonate more and more in the decade ahead. And if we can collectively say, not on our watch, to those who won't speak the truth, those who are content with morally shocking realities in our country, and if we can say that to ourselves when we're getting too comfortable, then we might live to see this country become a much better place for all. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.